Funding for the Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute, where you get access to the most advanced treatment options, including a range of clinical trials. Learn more at upmc.com/centralpaheart.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm Marquise Lupton. On the back half of the show, we speak with Roger Mazzarella, a retired biology teacher, member of the Friends of Cook Forest, and a longtime amateur astronomer. We'll be discussing next week's total solar eclipse and the best locations in the mid-state to watch this phenomena. But up front, for more than 25 years, tens of thousands of Lancaster County residents have gathered as a community to make their voices heard and join the movement to eliminate racism and empower women with the YWCA Lancaster. And on Saturday, April 27th, you can join them along with dozens of other participants for this year's Race Against Racism. And today on The Spark, we have with us Andrea Smith, who is a lead clinician of the YWCA Sexual Assault Prevention and Counseling Center, Isabel Castillo, who is the director of their Center for Racial and Gender Equity, and Aaron Spangler, who is their director of communication. And they're here to join us to not only talk about the Race Against Racism, but also this month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So you know that we had to bring in the experts on The Spark. So thank you all for joining us today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. So let's just jump into this thing. We have a lot to discuss today. So let's start talking about the Race Against Racism. Are your shoes laced up? How's your ankles?
We are ready, definitely ready. And we hope the community is also ready to join us on, as you mentioned, Saturday, April 27th for our 26th Race Against Racism. The biggest and longest consecutively run Race Against Racism in the nation.
Now, 26 years, that is significant. So how have you all changed and evolved over this, you know, last quarter century?
I think, you know, this is Aaron's talking now for folks listening in. I think one of the things that is really extraordinary about this event is how consistent it always has been. So yes, we've been changing with the times. Yes, we've been bringing in new acts and new attractions and new ways to bring people together. But for the past 25 years, YWCA Lancaster has put out a call to unite against racism. And every single year, the community shows up and shows up in a big way. And as Isabel mentioned, this is the longest consecutively run and also the biggest Race Against Racism in the nation. And there are many races, you know, this is kind of a YWCA program that happens all across the country. And consistently Lancaster shows up to support this important cause, and we're incredibly thankful.
Now, because of the prior success of this, and because it's one of the biggest in the nation, do you all feel pressure to consistently, you know, up it year after year?
Yes, most definitely. You know, we want to maybe at least try to get 4,000 folks this year. But as Aaron mentioned, we're really grateful for the community that continues to support the Race Against Racism, which helps to fund the Center for Racial and Gender Equity that supports the work that we do in the community to try to address racism and biases and support the programs that we have, like our Black Artist Way Station, our Racial Equity Institute, our Lancaster Votes. So we really want folks to also get registered to vote. We have our annual Children's MLK Day event, our Dorothy Height Social Justice Book Club, and our Racial Equity Profile Action Team. That was actually on your radio show recently.
Yeah, and so this thing has tentacles then. It's not just, you know, the Race Against Racism, boom, it's over this Saturday, but it's a continuation into other programs that you have. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. So we know that a race is not gonna end racism. And so this supports the programming and the work And we hope that folks join us in that effort. So besides joining in the race, like come and participate in our next Racial Equity Institute coming up in May, or help us register people to vote with our nonpartisan Lancaster Votes initiative. So.
Well, then this is like a perfect setup. This is like an alley-oop here. Call me Chris Paul. So then
Caitlin Clark.
Right. So then with the programming and with this race to the skeptics, then it's not just, oh, this race is going to solve racism. It's this race is in tandem with the initiatives that are put in place to, you know, solve and address racism. Correct.
Correct. We're inviting folks to join the movement, to unite against racism, and for us to work together to build a just future for women, for people of color.
And what are some of the challenges still faced in Lancaster County on the journey to eliminate racism?
Well, I think those are definitely highlighted in the racial equity profile, the inequities of, you know, BIPOC children still living at higher poverty rates than white children, that Black people live 4 years less than white individuals, and folks getting paid less regardless of the same educational levels. Mm. So there's still a lot of work to be done in our community and our society, unfortunately. And so it's, you know, it continues to be important to highlight these inequities and to address these and work together as a community to make a better community for everyone.
And for the folks sitting at home that are, you know, pumping up their sneakers and preparing for this 5K, if they haven't signed up yet, where do they go? How do they sign up?
So the best way to do that is just go to ywcalancaster.org. So we have an early bird registration deadline of next week. That is the day that you need to make sure you have your information to us to make sure that you can get a sweet limited edition Race Against Racism 2024 t-shirt. I feel like anyone who lives in Lancaster County has seen a Race Against Racism shirt somewhere along, you know, on the street, in the store. So they go like hotcakes, and people are always a little bit like, ah, do you have any extras? And we're like, maybe, depending on your size. You know, beat the rush. Make sure you're getting your information in on April 7th. And then again, that's ywcalancaster.org. It's the first thing you'll see when you get there.
Yeah, that's a thing. If you don't have a Race Against Racism t-shirt, are you from Lancaster, bro? Like, really? That's it. That's what I want to know. But now the shirt design, it was designed by Amanda Chung. Who was she?
Yeah, so we were super lucky to connect with Amanda via Pennsylvania College of Art and Design. So as you know, the Race Against Racism logo is kind of iconic in Lancaster County. And, you know, you asked about ways that we've updated, ways that we've adapted. We were like, okay, I think it's time to you know, give it a fresh new look, because we've done 25 years. And so we decided not only to provide a new opportunity to get this message out, but we also wanted to give the community a little bit of say. So we had Amanda design a couple designs, and she did a great job. And then we put it out to the community and said, which one is your favorite? And, you know, as a political science major, I was geeking out, because the results were neck and neck. And we were talking about within the margin of error, needs a recount. But in the end, the logo has a really cool, fresh, updated look. It's play on the classic. It's nothing too out of the ordinary, but we really like it, and we're glad to have partnered with Amanda and PCAD for that.
Oh man, that is interesting to hear. So no hanging chads or anything like that during the process.
Yeah. Yep. No voter fraud. We verified the IP of every vote.
All right. So how does the Race Against Racism foster a sense of belonging and solidarity within the Lancaster community?
Yeah, everyone is welcome to join. You know, if you have a stroller, if you are in a wheelchair, pets, maybe leave the pets at home so they stay safe. There's music. We're going to have music on the course. And then an after party with lots of community fun, a local art project with our Black Artist Way Station recipient, Keisha Finney.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have food trucks. And then there's going to be just tables with different resources from our amazing sponsors and our programs here at the YWCA. So it's definitely a big community-friendly, family-friendly event.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really notice with the Lancaster Race Against Racism. There are people in wheelchairs. There are, you know, moms and dads and caregivers with their strollers. Some people I've even seen with the double stroller, and I'm like, man, they're strong. So for before we head to our first break here, how can people sign up to volunteer if they're like, hey, I can't run a 5K, but you know what? I can motivate people to run a 5K.
So we have volunteer opportunities available on the race website, which again you can get to via ywclancaster.org. But I would also make sure that, you know, if you're feeling intimidated by the prospect of a 5K, we still want you to come out. We still want you to have a good time. A lot of kids are walking the course with their families. We have a fun run that starts at 8:30 specifically for kids. It's a great way to bring the whole family out and kind of introduce people of all ages and all generations and all part in their journey to the idea of uniting against racism. But we do need volunteers, to your initial question. So please visit the race website. We have all the volunteer opportunities listed there, and folks can get involved.
Our guests today are Andrea Smith, Aaron Spangler, and Isabel Castillo, all from the YWCA Lancaster. And we just finished talking about the Race Against Racism that is happening later this month, and wanted to switch gears here because this is also a important month with Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So Andrea, can you tell us, why is this month so important?
When we talk about sexual assault awareness, it's because it is such a pervasive issue across our country. Some of the most recent statistics from RAIN says that every 68 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted.
Wow.
We know that happens across the entire lifespan. We know that happens across different populations. But we know that many populations that are already vulnerable are more vulnerable to sexual abuse, especially women and children. So one of the biggest parts of Sexual Assault Awareness Month this year is building safe and resilient communities and letting survivors know that they're not alone. We want to make sure that they know that there are people who see them, who care about their stories, and who want to see them succeed.
And who are some of the most vulnerable populations?
Yeah, one in six women is likely to be raped or attempted to be raped over their lifetime. Children are more likely to experience sexual assault, but also BIPOC populations, gender minorities such as our trans neighbors are more likely to experience sexual assault over their lifetime. So we want to make sure to create communities where sexual assault is impossible. But as we work towards that end, we also want to make sure that we have wraparound services in place for survivors and the people who care about them to be able to access.
Now is sexual assault becoming more highlighted? Are the victims becoming more respected, more listened to? Because now we're seeing stuff like reports with Puff Daddy and everything that he's going through. There's this documentary that just came out about the kids and Nickelodeon. So is it being highlighted more? Are the victims being respected and heard more now?
I think we're definitely seeing a massive social and cultural trend towards that, especially in the wake of the Me Too movement. There's more accountability for the types of behaviors and ideologies and values that lead to sexual assault. And that's encouraging. It's progress that we haven't seen in a long time. So in that sense, yes, but also, and so many of these movements are addressing issues that have already happened.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily creating safe spaces right now for people who are experiencing sexual assault or who are in the aftermath of sexual assault and trying to find out who is safe. Who can I talk to about this? Who's still going to care about me? And we often hear that from survivors. Like, I don't know if I can tell anybody because what are they going to think about me?
And the Me Too movement, how has that helped? Not just with the communication side, but just overall, how has that helped the sexual assault awareness movement?
Yeah, I think there's been obviously a much more cultural discourse that we have much more language to be able to say, like, this is part of our experience, it's part of what we bring in our stories. There's the opportunity for empowerment, I think, for a lot of people to be able to say, like, yeah, I'm not the only one. There are other people I can connect with. But I think in some ways, it's also highlighted how deeply pervasive of an issue this is in our culture, that some of the ideologies that promote violence have a disproportionate impact on some of those vulnerable populations.
Now,
I'd also
please do.
I would just also say that, you know, in addition to all of the, you know, important highlighting that victim survivors have gotten through movements like Time's Up and through Me Too and some of these high profile exposés, you know, there are also a lot of other factors that have set us back, like the COVID pandemic, which is still ongoing. But, you know, when we were largely locked down through much of the county and through much of the community, that also, you know, put victim survivors in a position where they would be unable to get assistance, unable to get, you know, the support that they needed if they happened to be in a situation often living with the person who is doing the harm, which is more often than not the case. So, I mean, all to say that I do think that we do have a lot of great momentum for this movement. But like Andrea said, you know, we don't want to be finding out about this stuff after the fact. You know, our department is the Sexual Assault Prevention and Counseling Center. So the world that we want to build is one where sexual assault doesn't happen to begin with.
And so for the person that is sitting at home, that, and it's a two part question here. The person that is sitting at home that may have been sexually assaulted, you know, I don't I'm not too sure if there's a manual on what you should do when you are sexually assaulted. But what should be some of the first things that somebody should do when they're sexually assaulted?
Always going to depend on the survivor and what their needs are, what they're looking for support. We operate the county's 24-hour sexual assault hotline, which is available for anybody who's been impacted by sexual assault, violence, or harassment. That's 717-392-7273. So that's always available 24 hours a day. We have volunteers and staff who are ready to listen. We provide free counseling and therapy services at no charge for survivors, with the option to see people all over the county or virtually, and provide medical and legal advocacy support for people who are navigating a sexual assault forensic exam in the emergency room. One of our medical advocates is available on site to be able to support the survivor through that process. We have a legal advocate on our team who can help walk a survivor or their family through the PFA process if they need to get a restraining order against someone, if they're seeking to press charges, what that looks like in the judicial system. So we also, of course, have all those aspects of treatment and care and providing those things. We have a monthly adult survivor gathering on the first Monday of every month. So we just had that one for April last night. We have virtual and in-person options for adult survivors to connect with each other, to have a safe place to talk. And then on the other side of it, we also do a lot of prevention education. So if you're somebody who cares about this issue, you want to take care of kids in your life and you have connections, we do a lot around classes for kids and teenagers and college students and adults around body safety and empowerment, how to make a safe workplace, creating environments for people to be able to thrive and connect and feel empowered to be safe and tell safe adults in their lives what they need.
We have about a minute left here, and I want to thank you all for joining us on the Spark. Before we head out, like I said, it was a two-part question. So how can somebody properly advocate for someone that they know that has been sexually assaulted?
Yeah, we believe survivors. We always believe survivors. Their stories matter. What their perspective and what they went through matters. If you want to connect with more ways to do that across the county, we have a lot of events happening this month. Erin mentioned earlier, you can visit ywcalancaster.org for information about Race Against Racism. But if you add a slash and do SAAM for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, we have a lot of events happening across the county. Starting with this Friday, we have an open mic night for survivors to be able to share their stories at 6:30 p.m. at Red Rose Books in downtown Lancaster.
We might have lost her.
Did we lose her? All right, well,
that's all right. I can jump in real quick.
Erin, please jump in and let us know what you all have coming up.
Yeah, so like Andrea said, we have open mic coming up. We also have book readings all across the county. So that's at Erin's Books, that's at Pocket Books, and the public library, whom we love, whom we support unconditionally. So, and there's also an older person reading at Pocket Books. So like Andrea said, all of those great events, you can find information for that at ywcalancaster.org/SAAM.
Well, I would like to thank all three of you for coming on the Spark today and letting us know all the happenings that are happening, whether it's for the Race Against Racism or for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Thank you all for joining us on the Spark today.